Thank you very much, Tanya. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is the Who Is call on the 6th of February 2012. On the call today, we have Wilson Abigaba, Chintu Suknanan, Susan Prosser, Michael Young, Stephen Van Egmont, Avri Doria, and Wendy Zeltzer. From staff, we have Barry Cobb, Glenda Saint-Giry, and myself, Matthew Peregrine. We have an apology from Don Blumenthal. I would like to remind you all to please state your names before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much.
How is it? Thank you.
Hi, everyone. Go ahead, Barry.
No, please, go ahead.
All right, I was just going to do my usual thank you, everyone, for your time and effort in attending. And I was just going to throw out the agenda bashing Barry to start with. Barry, could we also ask a question of everyone? Can you put your hand up if you need to leave the call early today so that we make sure that if we have things you're coping with, we do them first in priority? Okay, I don't hear anybody. If anyone does, that's just for anyone. Please just interrupt the call, and we'll prioritize your work elements first. Oh, I see.
Early is against what deadline?
We have 90 minutes scheduled for the call.
Thanks,
Wilson. I see you put your hand up, so you need to go a little earlier than that. I realize it's late at night there too. So,
But I'll stay on the call for like 45 minutes.
45 minutes? Okay.
Yeah, or at least 45 minutes, yes.
Okay, so I'm just looking at the agenda here, Barry, just to make this. I think we have Wilson fairly high up in the action item review list anyways. So when we go through the action items and we hit Wilson's, why don't we go to his review for the ideas that you came up with over the last couple of weeks.
All right, great. Thank you. So in terms of our outstanding action items, action item one, which was assigned to me or ICANN staff, basically we were talking about how we could go about performing a roadshow. We surveyed representatives from the SOs and ACs. It seems like the best course of action would be to conduct two webinar sessions. We haven't had these scheduled yet, and I imagine probably after our call in the next 2 weeks, we'll have a better idea of comfort level where we're at with the survey. And when we get a good target date in mind, then we can get those scheduled. But the feedback we received is basically that we'd conduct two sessions to try to accommodate the varying time zones, probably be scheduled for 60 minutes apiece. And right now, if you'll notice in the bottom right-hand corner, I've updated our milestones that we're trying to hit. Right now, I just kind of tentatively put out there the last week of February or the first week of March. And again, when we figure out what we're going to do with the survey, then we can go from there and get those scheduled.
Okay. So, Barry, how many do we have? One more meeting before Costa Rica, I think?
That is correct. Let me look at the calendar real quick. That would be actually two meetings. We'd have one scheduled for February 20th and then March 5th, so the week before Costa Rica. So we got two sessions left.
That's good. Okay, so if we... just trying to think ahead a little bit here on overall scheduling. If we want to, what's our limit if we want to post something for public comment just prior or even during the Costa Rica meeting?
Basically, once we've nailed down our draft, then I'll submit the form to open up the public comment period. The structure has changed recently. It's a minimum of 21 days for the open comment period and then a minimum of 21 days to respond to comments. I think since we'd like to keep this open through Costa Rica, we'd probably maybe even look at going for 30 days in the initial period of comments. So, again, once we're ready to go, then I'll submit the forms and we'll get that opened up.
Okay, and is there a point to doing the webinars? I would think we should align scheduling the webinars with kind of around the time that we've posted it for public comment so we can walk people through and introduce and familiarize themselves.
Absolutely. Right now in the milestones area, tentatively we have that we would submit the draft survey on the 1st of March, or the 5th of March after our second session before Costa Rica. And, I think we'll really have a better idea on those dates after we meet again on the 20th.
Okay, so if we submitted then, would you suggest that we do the webinars after Costa Rica, or what are you thinking?
It's really up to you, Michael, and I think you were going to bring Don along as well to help in the roadshow. So it's
okay. Well, let me get with Don offline because he's not able to attend the calls right now. I guess they conflict with some teaching session he does. If he's too conflicted, then I may look to see if I can get some more help from Susan, if you're willing, Susan.
Yes, I'm here for you normally, Michael. When I can talk.
And Michael, to your point, I think if we try doing the webinars on the 5th of March, we'll probably not have as much of attendance because everybody's going to be looking at other public comment periods and absorbing a lot of information. So it'd probably be best if we did it at, post Costa Rica. But we'll see where we are with the survey.
Okay. Well, why don't we plan to do that? We could even, if we did do a public meeting at Costa Rica, we could even kind of do, present the content that we'd put in the webinar anyways for the first time there. We could post just before Costa Rica, and in the public meeting forum, we could basically give, that would be the first, effectively like a, live webinar, if you will.
Okay. All right. Well, per last call or last two calls, I thought we decided we weren't going to do a public session, so that's been taken off of the schedule.
Okay, no problem. I wasn't sure whether or not we had left that as open as an option. The webinars are fine, so let's just try and get it posted before the meeting. It allows some of us to go around and socialize it with the various groups that we work with, and then get people interested in attending the webinar.
Sounds like a plan.
Okay, does anyone disagree with that? Is that all right with everybody? Okay, so our plan is basically get posted before Costa Rica, the first version, and then all of us, work our circles to try and socialize it a bit, and then encourage people to attend the webinars that will happen after Costa Rica so that they understand a bit better what we're up to and what the survey is about.
Very good. Okay, so the second action item was mine, and that was basically just to send out a doodle poll for the new schedule, which we have now. We'll consider that complete. Third action is to Wilson, which is kind of a hybrid action item. I think that the one is, still how we're going to handle comments within the survey, and then the second portion was the structure of the survey itself in terms of how we mold the questions that we have here. I'll turn that over to Wilson.
Okay. I'm sorry, I just did something in the chat, but it doesn't mean punctuated. I was trying to paste what I was going to talk about. Anyway, regarding the question type, I have zeroed down on mainly five question types. That's the multiple choice. In brackets, radio boxes. These are the ones whereby you can only choose one answer. Then the check boxes, whereby you can choose more than one answer, and you can also limit how many answers you can choose if you want. For example, if there are five and one respondent chooses only two, you can also do that. Then the ranks, that's a scale of 1 to 5, or a scale of 1 to 10. Then the drop down menus. And then the text boxes, whereby you can type anything. And just like what members expected, if it's possible to limit characters, yes, we shall be able to limit the characters. for maybe 400 or 150 or 75 for each particular textbook. These are the five I've thought about, and I think they need encompass most of what we, most of the questions we want to ask. Unless there is a really big need, I would recommend that you go with only these five, because it helps in the setting up the survey and in the analysis, and also in structuring our questions to have to be around the same theme. Then I would recommend that we limit the type of question, the types of questions we have, to only these five. Then the other thing I was also talking about, to investigate on the limiting factors in the text field, and also having the mouse over descriptions. You can have them. We shall be able to have them in HTML, so we can actually put the HTML in the when we hover on the person and make something bold and italics and all that if we need to. Then I also need to repeat that we should also aim at reducing the open-ended questions that require someone to type. We should aim at reducing them as much as we can, because it's difficult to analyze them. Then someone had also raised a question regarding whether, for the comment boxes, whether it's possible to have a drop-down or some kind of autofill which lists down the answers or the comments that were previously entered, so that someone can be able to enter around the same comments and others. I'm still investigating that one. It may not be possible for the text fields, but it's possible for the lines, for the entries by a single line is what. In HTML, we have comment text fields and text boxes and text fields. It's also for the text fields, but it's only one. But I'll give more highlight on that as I go along. But at least most of the questions, we have positive response. And then the other thing, away from this action item, is that I'm getting worried. The questions are becoming too many, and it may take over 15 minutes or 20 minutes for someone to actually fill in the entire survey and give accurate answers. In my opinion, we should aim at reducing the questions as much as we can, the number of questions as much as we can, because it becomes too long and time-consuming, then we may not get accurate answers that we want from the respondent.
So in terms of length, I'm getting an echo here. Can people mute if they're not talking? There we go. That's better. So, Wilson, the question I had, do you think we'll be too long if we're allowing people to opt out of questions? So we talked about giving people a selection on each question. Basically, they'll pass on the question. We anticipated that because some people find certain questions way too technical for them to have a coherent answer.
What do you mean by opt-out? You can make some questions mandatory or not mandatory.
Well, I'm getting real echo still. Maybe I'll, why don't you continue? I'm going to dial back in again, see if it's on my side. Oh, no, it's gone again now.
Yeah, I think it's you, Michael.
So, I'm being told this from your line, Wilson. Okay. No, I'm saying that we need to allow, just to be fair on every question, we need to allow an opt-out option. Some people, we anticipate people tend to use that opt-out option in the question if they're, they don't understand it for some reason. We anticipate that usually being because it's too technical for them, but also maybe because it's somebody who doesn't necessarily have a good history of policy or operational practices or behaviors around who is and just doesn't understand the question. So, if we anticipate that, the average surveyor, I would say, may opt out as much as 20% of the questions. Are we still too long? Yeah, it's better, Wilson.
Yeah, I'll get another one. I'm sorry, I didn't hear the question exactly. Could you please repeat? Because I didn't hear the question as Muslim.
Sure. You put yours on.
You put yours on your phone.
Okay, let me try one more time here. So, what I'm saying is that we had agreed on earlier calls that we would allow people to opt out of certain questions, or any of the questions, actually. I shouldn't say certain questions. They could opt out of any of the questions if they didn't understand the question. So if we anticipate the average person taking the survey only completing 80% of the questions, do you think we're still too long?
Regarding that, opting out, I don't know exactly what you mean by opting out, because, one, we could put an option of saying that I don't understand the question, but something more polite. An option which is something more polite, meaning that they cannot answer that question. We can actually figure that I opt out of this question, but they will have been able to read the question, meaning that they will have to think about it, and that adds up to the time that is spent on taking the survey, and also on the number of questions.
Wilson, I'm just typing an answer here because of the phone line issues.
Okay, I'm reading the comments.
Basically, this is Barry. We're Trent.
Yeah, can I speak during the silence? Sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I think that what's coming out of all this is that it's a good idea to give every question some way of saying, I have no answer. I don't have a preference. I don't. So the no choice option, and I think, you know, as was said there, whether it's true and false, you add a don't know. Whether it's a multiple choice, you add a no opinion. And it's not really an opting out, but the question becomes, are we doing a test where everybody has to answer every question, and therefore there is a don't know, don't care answer, or are we saying that we're doing a survey where you answer the questions you want to answer and you ignore the others? And I don't know if that's a decision that's been made. I don't remember it. Thanks.
Yeah, so it would be possible if they can answer the questionnaire in more than one session, but that poses a challenge on implementation because they are not logging in. We are not keeping their profile. So it's difficult to know to track down the person. When the person comes back, logged in again from a different computer, we cannot know whether they had actually filled in some answers or not. Unless we tell them to save the questionnaire and then we give them a code.
Could that be an option?
It could be, but I don't think people would likely do that much work, in all fairness, to save a code and then come back again. I think probably once they've abandoned the survey, it'll stay abandoned. I mean, that's typical being in these things, and it's typically what I would personally do, unless I had a very compelling reason to go back and complete a survey. Avery's saying she tends to use the code and come back and finish. Well, maybe everyone's different. Wilson, if we can offer that option, we should. It doesn't hurt.
Okay, we can do that. But me, I would think ideally that one to make the survey not so complete that there should be any necessity to come back later. I don't think we should. Should be that long. I'm not sure, but that's my opinion.
Okay. So on the length issue, I'll volunteer and Barry, put me down for an action item to go through all the questions and also try and do some initial timing on what we've got so far. Also see if there's any obvious consolidations we can do of questions. But Wilson, I think the next step for us is for you to actually give us, you talked about some formats. If you could actually give us specific examples of formats that we can choose from, I think we need to go through and move all our questions into these common or, approved formats.
Okay, yeah, we can do that. But, I'm sorry, I didn't complete feeling about putting these questions inside the survey tool that I've come up with. But as I stated, I got some confusion and actually which kind of reduced my speed to do that. For example, question number one, which I can give an example of question number one. Which of the following terms best describes your status as a respondent to this survey? And then say that, please provide where applicable an indication of the size of your organization, either the number of employees, the staff, or the number of members. Then size, in brackets, employees or members. What is supposed to be there? A dash or someone filling in something or what? And then we have these multiple choices. I wasn't sure how to represent this question in the new survey tool using those formats. Because size, in brackets, employees or members, another question and so on, that it was a response or it was just here misplaced?
I think I'm looking at number one and I see what you mean with the incoherence of that, right? Because you don't want a free text answer on size of employees or members and then a selection on type of user, right? So I think you have to assume, Wilson, to create, give us three or four formats that are easy for us to consume the data back from, and leave it to us as the authors of the questions to have to find a way to fit our questions into those formats.
Okay, cool. Let me email the four types with some examples.
Right, perfect. And then to everybody else, if we have an issue with any of those formats, or we feel there's another format that's really important that we're missing, then we can have that discussion on the list with you, Wilson, and say, we need a fifth format really badly. Or, format number three, if we could change it a little bit, would be much more effective. So let's just do that part of the discussion on the list. So the sooner you can post that to the list, the quicker. And Barry, we set it as an action item to get that decided on, and people to format their questions into those formats for the next call, then that's a worthwhile amount of work to get done before the next call.
Okay. Since we have only one more call, that is on 27th of February before we submit the draft survey.
We have two calls, Wilson.
What date and what?
Wilson, did you hear me?
You said you have two calls. I don't know which date.
The last one is March 5th.
The last one is March 5th.
Yes. And then there's one on 27th of February. Is that right?
Barry, what was the actual date of
the this is Barry. We have a call on the 20th of February and a call on the 5th of March.
Right. So, Wilson, if we can get the format questions in the next, you know, 2 or 3 days from you, then that gives the rest of us enough time to format our questions into those new formats, you know, as well as debate the formats a little bit if we need to. And, you know, that gives us a coherent and consistent structure for the survey questions that we've done so far for the next call, which would be a great place to be. And then we have 2 weeks to continue to clean at that and check timing and maybe consolidate some of the questions so that by the, you know, 2 calls from now, we should be at a point where we have at least a coherent draft that we could publish for initial feedback on.
I'm going to submit the question types after this call, and I will request the team members to change their questions to this format, and if they can't reduce the number of questions, so that we can have the draft survey at the next call. Yeah, we shall have adequate time to make changes to it and have it ready for 5th of March.
Okay, and did you got as an action item to also look at the survey tool to be able to handle what Aubrey's been talking about with the with being able to receive the code either on screen and or email message to continue the survey?
Yeah, that one I can answer right now that I will be able to implement that. That is emailing a code and also writing on the screen so that for those who wish to complete the survey later, they can do that. I'll implement that.
Great, thank you.
Okay. I'll be leaving the call in 30 minutes from now, but I just want to remind the members to, when I send the survey questions, to please respond, and I'll be counting on Barry Cobb to compile the questions again according to the new format that has been posted, probably like in a week's time, maybe by February 13th is next Monday, so they can have time to put them in the survey tool and have them ready for the 20th.
Great, thank you.
Okay, thanks.
Barry, I've been watching the screen. I see you seem to have captured everything here, so that's great. I think we can... Wilson, was that it? Should we move on to the next action item?
Great. Michael, this is just basically the last two into the survey question form itself, the working group to continue working on their questions, and then mine was to send out the next survey version, which, you know, those will carry over again. So I think we're done or complete with the action items.
Okay, so we may not need the 90 minutes today, hopefully. I guess I saw there was some submittals from Stephen Van Eggman, and I think we had some questions that people dropped off the call last week that we probably should go through, and then we're pretty much wrapped for this meeting.
And we also had Aubrey submit updates to her 2 questions as well.
Oh, great. Great. Do we have Stephen on the call?
Yes, he does.
Great. Stephen, you want to do yours since you're at the top of the document?
I'll speaker here. All right. At the very top is not mine, the survey respondent profile. I did suggest an additional 2 questions. These appear on page 2, which clarify whether or not the respondent maintains a WHOIS service for registrar, registry operator, or RIR, and if so, where that software came from.
Okay, that's useful. Great.
Yes. And the rewritten questions that I provided begin on page 3, which points out, again, the requirement R1 and has two questions related to that. I will leave it to others to comment if they feel like it. Basically, we drill into whether or not their existing use cases, so whether they've written their own Whois clients, and they would use a publicly operated list of publicly accessible machine portable list of domain names or IP locations of Whois servers. The formatting sort of ate some of the distinctions I had between questions. So if you look for pairs of square brackets, that's where new options begin. So the first group should have five. And the second question should have 1, 2, 3 options as well.
This is Barry. That's my bad. I'll update the Word document. I think something got lost in translation when I converted it to PDF. But, yes, I'll make sure that those options get carriage returned down.
Thank you. Thank you. And aside from the update to question 1, there are also some updates on page 18 of the PDF regarding requirement 8.1. There are four questions related to that requirement. And Barry just pointed out there's a similar formatting issue here as well. And what I did compared to the previous round of questions was to provide some specifics. So, what seemed to be fairly reasonable specific specific choices. So, for instance, the example of question 4, mechanisms for providing elevated access rights.
See, when I'm looking at 1 here, you might want to adjust the second bullet point that says yes is a long not be as specific, just say as a member of a law enforcement agency.
Okay.
Because they may not technically be an officer.
Right. Very good.
I'm just reading through these. I'm sure everyone else is too.
Michael, this is Barry. I can go ahead and make this change for you, Stephen. What did you say, just as a member of law enforcement?
Correct.
Okay.
Of a law enforcement agency, I think, is kind of the terminology that people have been comfortable with recently.
Okay, I've made that change on the master.
Thanks.
Stephen, on number 2, your access rights are circumscribed. Please describe the constraints you operate under. Do we need to boil that language down a bit more so they understand, we're assuming they understand what we mean by access rights?
This is all within the context of requirement 8.1. So we're talking about accommodate access as well.
But these people never would have probably read the report.
Right. That's what the preamble above question 1 is intended to describe.
Okay.
Barry, my suggestion might be to bold the phrase elevated access rights in that paragraph.
Yeah, maybe elevated access rights. No constraints for elevated access rights, just to tie it back to the top paragraph repeatedly so they understand exactly what you're tying back to.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Okay.
Okay, I bolded it and expanded it to elevated access rights.
Right. If anyone has any ideas, I'm going to go through all these questions and just think about, tweak tweaking wording to I guess make the newer, not necessarily the newcomer to Whois, but maybe the newer comer to Whois, make some of this stuff a little bit more understandable to them. Of course, we will do the pop-up windows with, you know, explanations and so forth. But anyone has on simplification or making these easier to comprehend, it's most appreciated.
Yep.
In fact, that's going to be a specific, once we get these formatted into the right Wilson's formats, I think, you know, in the next 2 week period, we're going to give that as a piece of homework to everyone to go through and see if we can't simplify language. Everyone take a shot at editing through. It's challenging with these to make them easy to comprehend. Anything else, Stephen?
That's all.
Okay, thank you.
Unless anyone has any other comments or any other questions.
This is Wendy. I just threw a question into the chat where it seems that the fourth question here is addressing the person on the other side of the transaction from the previous three questions. Probably describe your preferred approach for gaining or receiving authenticated access rights.
Right. Yes, that would make sense. Thanks.
Good catch, Wendy. Thanks. Okay. Anything else for Stephen? Okay, Barry, who's the next logical person to go to?
Aubrey had submitted her questions for requirement number 6.1, I believe, and 6.2.
A and B.
I've got those numbers right. Or 6A, that's right, my bad.
6A and B, right. Okay. So, Aubrey, I didn't do that much. I just added... instead of being very shorthand about these end propositions would have a 5 scale, I broke it out as everyone else did, and so that it was visible. And I didn't change the text in them much. I think a couple of them I tried to make it a little clearer, but not a lot. What I did add, and I don't know if this is a notion that's accepted or not, but in addition to a statement, you know, on data being extensible, I'm also asking, is this issue even relevant to you? Now, I don't know how that fits into the testing methodology, and we'll have to see, but what that does is it produces, if you take two things together and you find that someone strongly disagrees with a statement but thinks the question is totally irrelevant, it means less than, you know, sometimes other comments they may make. It's an extra dimension. I don't know if it's worth doing, but when I was going through the questions and I remembered our discussion last time where it seemed that some of the questions people would say, yeah, I understand it, but why are you asking me this? What's the relevance? And is this relevant to our scope? Is this whatever? And I was thinking, as opposed to us making those judgments, we can actually put that in the questionnaire and find out what topics are totally irrelevant to the community we're approaching. So that's what I did.
Yeah, Avery, that's great. I would almost call that like a control group question.
It's not quite a control group, but yeah. It has that similar sort of mechanism because you when you start digging deeper into the responses, you can get to play with, you know, the question choice as influenced by its relevancy weight, and that. But I don't know how much sense it necessarily makes doing that in one section versus others, except as a test on how various testing methodologies work in this group. That becomes a piece of meta information we get out of this exercise. However, while I was doing it, that's what I thought of. So
the question is that comes to mind then is that you already raised is, do we add this to this type of control question to every section?
or do you add it to just one or two questions in every section? Or do you make it a section-wide question? And that is a possible question. Yeah. Again, there's any number of ways to do it if you decide to do it through the test without insisting on it at each question.
I think if we tried to, I think in terms of, you know, not making the survey too long, that the most frequent we could introduce it, the rate of frequency would be the section. Okay.
But so that's what I was thinking, but I stayed in that same sort of style of make a declaration and find out whether people agree or disagree, and to what degree. And then using the 3 point, don't have an opinion either way, as in this case, that's the opt out. Don't know.
Right.
You know, don't have an opinion. And that could be any number of reasons. That doesn't really matter. When it's coupled with a question is irrelevant, you know, then you also get some different kind of meaning. So that's what I did in terms of working the question. I think I added one or two at the end of 6B also that hadn't been there. I had been sort of quick about it.
Okay, great. I suggest I'd like to think a little bit about what you've introduced here, Avery, and I'm sure everyone else wants to a little bit, but my inclination is to see if we can introduce that on a per-section basis. So I ask everyone to think about that because, I'm going to think about it a bit more, but I really have an inclination to want to do that. Okay. Any other questions for Avery? Great work. Thank you, Avery. Barry, do we have anything else left in here? I know we had some stuff from Steve, but we don't seem to have... I don't think we have Steve on the call today.
That's correct. That's R7 is basically our only gap with respect to the IRD requirement. And... definitely, I believe we need Stephen here to discuss the issue. Perhaps we can try taking it back to the list. I can re-forward his email out, and we can see if we can draw up some discussion.
Okay, good. So why don't we take it back to the list then? And I'm also going to phone... try and phone Steve offline and see if he can walk me through this because I know he did try and give a pretty good explanation in his initial email, but to be honest, I'm not sure I'm grasping it in its entirety. So I personally need a little bit of help wrapping my head around a whole series of points there. Now, Cintra made some changes, Barry, to my questions, tidying them up and making them clear. I think they got absorbed in to this version. I remember seeing it go to the list.
I think I got them in here. Do you recall which requirement that was?
Cintra's on the call now. Maybe she can lead us on this.
Hi, thank you. This is Cintra. I sent my email on the 24th of January, so I'm just trying to go back to that right now. I don't know if you want me to run through the changes, because it'll take me a short time just to open it up, or if we want to just do a comparison.
So it's up to you, Cintra. If you want to, the feedback from the group, that's fine, or we can just make sure that ask people to review it and follow up with any questions, however you like.
I think so, because my changes was for all the sections, not just yours.
Right.
Yeah, just in the interest of time, maybe it would be best, you know, that each person just, you know, review their section and see if it makes sense or not. And that's fine whether we decide to take it on board or not.
In looking at version 6, does it look like your changes got absorbed into that? So I think you put out yours as version 5.5 or something like that.
I put it out as CS edit or something like that. But okay. What I will do is I will review this after the call, and if there's any, I will review it again.
Great. So while we're on the topic of getting editors, really. So once we get these questions formatted in into a common format that Wilson's going to lead us on, the next call I want people to think about, because I'm going to need a couple of volunteers to work as primary editor and secondary editor to go through and adjust just the language flow, not changing the nature of the questions, but, you know, as an editor going through and giving them a consistency and a common voice. So it doesn't sound like, you know, we're switching authors every three questions, but that they sound a little more consistent. So T-Center almost already kind of took a tactic of clarity and going through and editing all the questions. So hopefully, Centra, you can be one of the volunteers.
Yeah, I'll be happy to fill that role. Thank you.
Great. So I'll let people dwell on who's going to put their hand up. Obviously, I'm going to go through everything, but I want, you know, a couple people independent of me, please.
Just as often, can I bring up another issue? I have my hand.
Absolutely.
But my hand is not up to be a volunteer to be an editor because I'm not doing it.
Okay.
Far more insidious. I'm suggesting another activity, and I'm actually going to volunteer at least one person, not me, for it.
Okay.
One of the things that a survey or a test can use is someone to actually testing it. And so I'm wondering if it's possible to find a couple people who volunteered for this group at large but haven't been involved in the question building, that after the editors have done the pass, to actually sit down and take the thing and jot down notes on what worked, what didn't work, but to actually, obviously not using the online mechanism, just using scratch paper, but actually take the thing, not having read it, not having contributed to it, not having edited to it. You know, so for example, and we have some, I was looking at people like perhaps Don, who can't make it to the meeting, so therefore has missed all of these discussions, becomes an excellent candidate for testing the test and testing the survey. So, as I say, it's terrible to start out saying, I don't volunteer, and here's something that someone else could be volunteered for, but that's what I was going to say. Thanks.
Avery, I think that's a great idea. We did plan into our overall project plan to have a kind of a not this early in the process, but later on, we were going to do a more formal round of kind of a beta run of the survey. But this is awesome as part of the editing process. I think it's a great idea. So, and it will certainly strengthen even the first preliminary draft. Yeah, let's do it. So Don sounds like especially since he's not on the call, I love volunteering people who are not on calls. It's great fun. So we'll see if we get Don to do it. I'm sure he will. Is there anyone else yet in mind, Avery?
No, he was the person that I don't. He's someone that I know was in this group and wasn't able to attend these meetings, and therefore I'm not even really sure I know who all else is in this group, other than people that are participating in this meeting. So no, I would suggest going through, you know, someone like, you know, Barry or someone else who knows everyone that's in the group, perhaps help you come up with a couple victims and see if they're interested. Based upon people who had a genuine volunteer, but for whatever reason weren't able to get into it.
Right. And a couple of people that outside the group that come to my head that I'm sure we could get to put a little time into this, Barry, is maybe even getting Dave or Francisco to take it. and give their comments. So this, who is has been near and dear to their hearts lately? Now, they're a little more biased toward the technical side of things, so. But it'd be interesting. And so, Barry, you and I can take that offline and try and find another body or two.
Very good.
Thanks, Harry. Great idea.
Sorry. You're welcome, but sorry that I just made work for other people.
I'll pass on your apologies to them.
I'm sure someday it'll come back at me, you know, work karma and all that.
Yeah, I think it's inevitable. It's probably already hit you a few times. Okay. Cintra looks like she lost her connection. I can see. I don't know if we can do anything for her, Barry. So it looks like I don't think we have any more questions to go through, unless I'm missing something, Barry.
In terms of the latest updates, that's all that we've gotten so far thus far.
Okay, and we've got a good collection of action items to do for the next call, and we have some preliminary work that we've already kind of defined for the following two-week period to take us to get us to a point where we can have a first draft to put up for public comment after March 5th. So I think we're in fairly good shape for this call. Barry, do you want to? Well, let me just open up to everyone and say, just open up for new business and see if there's anything else anyone wants to bring up that we haven't had on the agenda today. Okay, hearing nothing, Barry, can you just walk us through the action items real quick and we'll wrap the call?
Yes, Michael, this is Barry. Basically, we have seven new ones that were created today. The first one's out to you, Michael, and I think you were going to take a stronger look at the survey and look at the link. And there was something else that you were, I think, and also in terms of some of the language you were going to maybe take a look at. Second item is out to Wilson, and he'll provide, I think he'll, at the end of this call or in the next day or so, provide examples of the survey question types. That will, in turn, provide an action for the entire team for the requirement assignments for each one of them to mold their questions into those available question types. A fourth action item is that will be out to Wilson, and he's going to submit information about the survey code capability, and put, you know, basically the code would be loaded in email form. The fifth action item is out to the entire team for the team to consider whether the question is relevant for either per section or per question. Sixth action item is I'll send out a response back from Steve Metallic's response regarding R7 and the IRD. And we'll hopefully try it, and whether it should be used in the survey or not, and hopefully we garner up some dialogue on the list. And then the last action item is for us to find a few persons to maybe sign up for testing the survey.
Right. And then, Barry, just to kind of, it's not an action item, but just, again, to give people a heads up, and we nail this away in the next 2 weeks. The following 2 weeks, we're going to be... obviously, getting a couple of our editors. We have one so far. So we'll have to identify another one by the next call, and myself as well. So three of us will be going through trying to give a common voice to the questions so they sound a little bit more consistent. Yep, that's great to add that, identify an editor. And then we're going to have our poor volunteered workers, indentured work, go through and take the survey and give us some notes back. So fantastic! All right. Now that we've gone through the action items, anyone want to add any action items? Did we miss anything? Okay, hearing nothing, we got the call done in an hour today instead of 90 minutes, which I think is a good sign. We're being relatively efficient. And Barry, I'm going to wrap the call. I just want to thank everybody for their time, effort, and volunteer work. It's really appreciated. It makes a big difference to our industry. And, you know, it's hard to get the time of people that are knowledgeable like yourself. So thank you very much.
Bye-bye. Great. Thank you, everybody. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Tanya. You may now stop the recording.